Gas prices, they're going up big time. Is it on purpose? Yes. Is this part of the Biden administration's plan to force you into green alternative energy? Yes. Is it to force you to get back on buses and ride sharing and all of this other crap because of global warming and the Green New Deal? Yes, yes, and yes. How bad are gas prices? Well, gas prices are now nearing $6 a gallon in Los Angeles. That's right. At a gas station in Los Angeles, fuel was $5.99 a gallon on Memorial Day weekend. Fuel prices are continuing to soar across the country, and the Biden administration is beyond thrilled about this. Now, if you're concerned about this, right, that it's sucking the life out of your bank account, out of your check you're getting every week or every 2 weeks or every month from your employer, just know that this administration has no cares in the world about you, about your family, about the economy right now, because they've got to force you into getting those green alternative energy cars, right? Now, we got to remember, in California, they love this because they're the state that's banning fossil fuel cars, like gas-powered cars, in the next 20 years. You won't even be able to drive one or buy one in California. Jimmy Kimmel, before the holiday weekend, decided it was a good idea to mock Americans that were concerned about gas prices. Now, he's in California. And you can hear the audience applause and cheer what he said about gas prices and Donald Trump, because this is all funny to them, right? That hardworking Americans are hurting when they're having to put $4, $5, and now almost $6 a gallon gas in their cars.
Former President El Crapo posted a Memorial Day message on his website today. He wrote, "With Memorial Day weekend coming up tomorrow, people start driving in the biggest automobile days of the year. I'm sorry to say the gasoline prices that you will be confronted with are far higher than they were just a short number of months ago where we had gasoline under $2 a gallon. Remember, as you're watching the meter tick and your dollars pile up, how great of a job Donald Trump did as president. Soon, Russia and the Middle East will be making a fortune on oil, and you'll be saying how good it was to have me as your president. Wasn't it great to be energy independent? But we are energy independent no more. Shame, shame, shame. Other than that, have a great Memorial Day weekend."
By the way, I love the audience. I love how they laugh at this, right? Because the president was making a very serious point here about what's happening in the Middle East and that they're going to get rich off this while we suck the life out of our economy. You don't believe me? Take a look at Russia Today. Russia Today, because the mainstream media is not going to report this story, has just reported this with their headline. U.S. reports it has imported sanctioned oil from Iran, a first after 30 years of sanctions. Despite the severe sanctions imposed on Iran's energy sector by the White House, the U.S. nonetheless imported a substantial batch of crude from the Islamic Republic for the first time in 30 years, the Department of Energy now reports. The department did not provide information on how the Iranian import showed up on its log. U.S. reportedly imported an estimated 36,000 barrels per day, according to data tracked by the U.S. Energy Information Administration. In March, the import volumes of Iranian crude reportedly totaled 33,000 barrels per day. That marks the first delivery of Iranian crude to the U.S. since 1991, when the country was shipping up to 64,000 barrels per day. However, the U.S. Energy Department recorded another delivery of Iranian crude oil as well. Washington confiscated 1.16 million barrels of Iranian-sourced oil aboard four tankers that were allegedly transporting the fuel to Venezuela. That delivery of Iranian crude was in 2020 in August, they're saying. The U.S. has imposed sanctions against Iran since 1984, banning all arms and sales and American aid to the nation. A new round of penalties against Tehran was introduced later. Shortly after, former U.S. President Donald Trump initiated a withdrawal from the JCPOA nuclear deal signed under the Obama administration. Trump's decision reflected the U.S. campaign of maximum pressure against the Islamic Republic, measures aimed at forcing it to give up its nuclear ambitions. No longer is that an issue now under this administration, because now apparently the U.S. is importing sanctioned oil from Iran at first after 30 years of sanctions under the Biden administration. So congratulations. Now you're paying more at the pump on top of the fact that we're importing oil from Iran. Now, the U.S. media is not reporting on this, right? This is actually coming from Russia Today. State-sponsored Russian television are the ones that are telling you this information. And notice how the media in this country that is clearly being controlled by the Biden White House will not report and or tell you this information. What they will do is they'll laugh and they'll mock it on TV that you're having to pay a lot more for gasoline because they don't give a crap about you. You're meaningless. You're worthless. They don't care if it's hurting you at the pump. You're meaningless. Your financial issues, they don't give a crap about. In fact, they're hoping that you do have real financial issues. They can send you your penance every month so that you'll beg them for more and vote for them. This is part of their plan. Make it impossible for you to survive on your own so that you desperately need the Democratic Party. And this is what they do when they're in charge. They purposely lift the price of oil and gas. Look at how fast they've been able to do it. Well, we're 150 days into this administration, and we've got gas prices that are at $5.99 a gallon in parts of L.A. This is done on purpose, and they're fine with it. And it's not just what you pay at the pump. I think everybody now understands that. It's the price of goods, services, manufacturing, delivering. The list goes on and on. Guess what just was brought back in many parts of the country when it comes to delivering food and pizzas? A gas surcharge, because the drivers are having to spend so much money now to fill their gas tanks that they're now charging you a surcharge to bring you your basic food. And this is all being done by design. And don't forget, let's just mock the American people when they're hurting. You want to know what some in the media are at least saying? Let me take you to Pittsburgh. In Pittsburgh, this is what they had to say about the rising gas prices.
Like millions of Americans are traveling for the Memorial Day weekend.
But as Channel 11's Mike Holden explains, it won't come cheap.
The Memorial Day holiday weekend has officially arrived. And travel experts say the reason why we're seeing such high gas prices is supply and demand. So what does that mean for you? Grab your wallet and get ready to shell out way more cash.
Drivers already complaining of pain at the pump. Memorial Day gas prices are the highest they've been in 7 years. The national average is around $3, and we spotted well above that across the greater Pittsburgh area at one gas station after the next. Right here in Bellevue, quite a few topping out at $3.19.
Now, thank goodness, at least some local media are clearly doing their job because they understand it's affecting their audience, their family, their friends in their communities. Let's deal with the squad, AOC, and what they're doing right now to complement clearly the White House's push for us to lose all energy independence in this country. AOC has actually come out demanding that U.S. banks, the audio I'm about to play for you is actually her asking a top U.S. bank, top U.S. bank CEOs, are each of your firms still financing new oil and gas production? I mean, you want to talk about a witch hunt? This is it. This is what a witch hunt sounds like. She's asking the top U.S. bank CEOs, are you and your firm still financing new oil and gas production?
Just last week, the IEA announced that all new fossil fuel projects must be stopped immediately in order to meet the Paris goal of limiting warming to 1.5 degrees centigrade. So I just wanted to pose a couple of questions to kind of discern a little bit about the details of each of your firm's commitments. So for each of you, if we could just kind of go down on a yes or no. Are each of your firms still financing new oil and gas production? And we can start with Mr. Frazier.
I mean, what type of question is that? Are they not allowed to? Because what it sounds like is she's trying to pass a law, trying to mandate a law that says you can't finance oil and gas production. She's on the House Committee on Financial Services, and she's putting a gun to the head of the CEOs of all of these top banks, mandating that each and every one of them answer her question, are you financing new oil and gas production? Because we need to know it. Now, why would they need to know this? It's clearly because they're going to pass some kind of law that goes after top U.S. banks if they do, in fact, finance new oil and gas production in this country. And that's why AOC here says, I'm going to go down the line to each and every one of you. I want you to answer yes or no. I'm holding you accountable. You're in the banking business. You're the evil rich banks. You're the CEOs of the evil rich banks. And I'm gonna make you answer my question yes or no, because I'm on the House Committee on Financial Services, and then I'm going to figure out how to screw you later.
Discern a little bit about the details of each of your firm's commitments. So for each of you, if we could just kind of go down on a yes or no, are each of your firms still financing new oil and gas production? And if we can start with Mr. Frazier.
Yes, we are still financing some new ones.
That's a city CEO, by the way. That's a city bank CEO saying, yes, we are still doing this. These are the types of questions, by the way, that you would expect to be asked of banks that were like funding terrorist organizations like Hamas or Hezbollah, or running dirty money for Iran back in the day, or Iraq or Afghanistan or Pakistan or Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda. She's treating these banks like they're doing something illegal because they're funding oil and gas production. So she starts with the city CEO, right? This woman who answers the question. Now we got to move on, get our enemies list.
Mr. Moynihan?
We finance oil companies and we'll continue to do so to help them make the transition that we've all talked about. And at the end of the day, we'll get there with the private sector driven and innovation and investing in some new technologies. And some of these companies have the intellectual property that is superior for carbon capture storage, things that we're going to need to make this happen. And
now you listen to Brian Moynihan there, right? This is a guy who is trying to figure out a way to kind of spin this, right? Moynihan's like, well, we're doing what we can, right? We're doing what we can to make this thing work. We're doing this green alternative energy too. Don't hate us, right? This is Brian Moynihan, the CEO of Bank of America, now having to play politics with a congresswoman, because you can tell in his answer, he's concerned that she's going to figure out a way to screw the banks and force them into an area where they're not allowed to allow people to borrow money to finance new oil and gas production. Now, he says, and the way that he answers the question, very politically savvy here, well, we're transitioning with you, Miss AOC. We're moving to green alternative energy, so we're working with our partners in that way.
And so we'll continue to help work with
them. Has anyone who has not answered not financing new oil and gas production? Okay, I'll take that as a no.
There it is. Yeah, I'm going to come after you guys. You're public enemy number one, you banks, right? You banks. Now, CNN's spinning this in a new way as well. CNN this morning, one of their reporters, Phillips, she had this to say about inflation, about gas prices. Take a listen.
I mean, at the same time that all this is happening domestically here in the United States, you have these really, I think, searing visuals. If you're of a certain age, particularly, brings you back to, I mean, I think Republicans would love to bring people back to the Carter years, but these gas lines, it's a psychological problem. Maybe it's temporary, but for the American public, there's something psychological about hearing about inflation and seeing gas lines and literally going to the pump in certain southern states and not being able to get gas.
Yeah. Even CNN now is like kind of, hey, this might not be the visual we need right now. It's almost like CNN's kind of putting out a soft warning here, right? It's not a good visual. It's a searing visual. Gas lines coupled with inflation bring people back to Jimmy Carter, right? You may want to be, cautious on this. And CNN talking about that Colonial Pipeline when it was shut down, right? How do you spin this?
All right, welcome back. The pipeline that supplies about half the gas to the East Coast says it's back in action after a crippling cyber attack. But how long will it take for that fuel to make it to service stations and, more importantly, into your tank? Natasha Chen is at a Circle K station in Charleston, South Carolina. Natasha, a gas buddy estimates that nearly half of service stations in that state are out of gas. So what are you experiencing and seeing?
Right, Fred. So it's hit or miss here, 50-50 across the state. Here in Charleston, a little bit better than that. The Gas Buddy app, which is crowdsourced, is telling us that maybe two-thirds of the gas stations in Charleston do have fuel for people. Not the one behind us, though. There are definitely still yellow bags on those pumps, and people that are pulling in here are just coming in to get some snacks or water. So it is still a slow improvement, though it is an improvement that we're seeing across the region. D.C. in particular has been struggling with this. They have improved their situation. This morning, the latest Gas Buddy numbers showed an 81% of gas stations there without fuel. That is slightly better than it was last night. Also here in our area, we're seeing that improvement happening slowly because some of the gas stations nearby, just a few blocks away, did not have gas last night. This morning they did, so they got some supply overnight. So this requires a lot of patience from people. As we've discussed, there was some panic buying at the pump earlier in the last...
I love how many excuses they give, right? They're like, well, I mean, there was some panic buying, so know that. You know, it's improving. You're just having to wait in lines for like an hour, hour and a half. It's not a big deal. Because we'll carry weight for this administration until we force you into doing what we tell you you must do. And what we tell you that you must do is this. You must buy an electric car. Because if you bought one of those, you wouldn't have to worry about any of this. Again, to put all this in perspective, we're nearing $6 a gallon gas in California, $3 a gallon gas in the flyover country. Some areas $4 and $5 a gallon gas is what you're seeing. And they're not done yet. Now, I also want to remind you that your leadership, your president of the United States of America, Joe Biden, just a week and a half ago with the pipeline that had shut down, his advice to Americans was very simple. Hey, just don't buy too much gas.
This is a whole of government response to get more fuel more quickly to where it's needed and to limit the pain being felt by American customers. Now, here's what drives the driver... In the states that are affected, here's what you can do, the drivers. Don't panic, number one. I know seeing lines at the pumps or gas stations with no gas can be extremely stressful. But this is a temporary situation. Do not get more gas than you need in the next few days. As I said, we expect the situation to begin to improve by the weekend and into early next week, and gasoline supply is coming back online. And panic buying will only slow the process. And I also want to say something to the gas stations. Do not. I repeat, do not.
Price gouge, right? There you go. That's your plan. So anytime a hacker wants to take over a pipeline after we shut down the Keystone Pipeline, after we shut down drilling in this country, after we shut down oil and gas, and after we interrogate the banks, as AOC was doing, saying to the U.S. top U.S. bank CEOs, are each of your firms still financing new oil and gas? This is now where we are. Now, while AOC is trying to criminalize loaning money to oil and gas companies, there are others that are warning not only Joe Biden, but the Democratic Party about what's going to happen with our energy independence if we keep going down the road that we're going. Nebraska Governor Ricketts, Pete Ricketts, great guy. He came out and explained this very clearly, that the Biden energy policies are not only putting our national security at risk, but they're also making us more dependent on foreign oil, which allows for these countries that have every bit of their policy to be anti-American, just like I told you at the beginning of this show. The U.S. reports it has imported sanctioned oil from Iran at first after 30 years of sanctions. What do you think they're doing with that money? They're supporting terrorism. They're attacking Americans, our soldiers, our interests, period. That's what they're doing. And people need to understand this and wake up to it. And that's what this governor is saying is, hey, you might want to realize this is not a good long-term plan.
Well, this crisis fueling new calls for President Biden to reverse his decision. Remember, it was practically on the first day to kill the XL pipeline, something Nebraska Republican Governor Pete Ricketts wants to see the overturning of that decision, and he joins me now. Governor Ricketts, did President Biden's cancellation of XL make us more vulnerable to this attack on Colonial?
Well, there's no question that by canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, what you're doing is making us more dependent on foreign oil. And when you have something like this happened with Colonial, you want to rely on other parts of your system, and the Keystone XL pipeline would be another way for us to bring energy in from one of our best allies, Canada, and refine it here in the United States, so we would not be dependent upon that. And of course, the president is just kowtowing to the radical Green New Deal and really making our country more vulnerable to these kind of attacks.
Do you think, we heard from Phil Flynn on this, do you think that we've lost our energy independence?
Absolutely. Everything that undermines our energy independence, like canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, pushing the Green New Deal, all these things is going to make us more vulnerable. And it was one of the things that was a strength in their last administration, that we were starting to become a net exporter of petroleum products. That made us strong in the world. This is making us weaker in the world.
Now the governor's point there is one based totally in fact, but they don't want us to be strong as a country. They sure as hell don't want us to be strong based on energy independence, right? That's not what they want. This administration wants us to be reliant on foreign energy, foreign oil. They don't mind if there's chaos at the pumps, because I think they actually believe that makes you be more inclined to buy a hybrid car or an electric car, so that you're less dependent, right, on foreign oil, or less dependent on oil, period. And if you force the price to go up, which is exactly what's happening now, artificially inflating these prices to the point where people drive less, then that means the Green New Deal is all there. And now I think it's pretty clear from what AOC was saying, we're going to start criminalizing banks loaning money to oil and gas companies that are actually still trying to expand in these sectors. In other words, we're going to legislate what we believe you should and should not be able to do in the private sector, and that includes the banking sector. We'll put pressure on you that if you keep giving money to people we believe are evil, these oil companies, and you keep financing their new deals, we'll have somewhere, some way, somehow, we will rein you in. We're not sure exactly how we're going to do it yet, but damn it, we're working on it. I'm telling you right now, there better be a lot of governors and a lot of state legislators that start fighting back against this administration and what they are doing. And they better start protecting these banks before the Democrats criminalize making loans to companies that actually do oil and gas production. And they better start calling them out and realizing what's happening right now, and not just sit on the sidelines and wait for the midterm elections. Governors better step up, and we as conservatives better step up and not accept $5, $6 gallon gas like we're seeing now on the big boards in front of gas stations in California. All right, like I've said before, please make sure you support this podcast by sharing it with your family and friends. All you got to do is hit this share button or share this podcast if you're listening to it right now on social media. They make it easy for you to share it just by clicking on that little share asterisk there, the little forward asterisk, and you can share this with your family and friends. I'll see you back here tomorrow.